So, Hare Krishna, I wish to welcome all of you affectionately to this first session on the Living Name. The Living Name is a title for a book, a new book which just came out a few weeks ago, maybe two or three. It is a book full with exercises and a lot of spiritual practice in there. And it rests on the assumption that actually the chanting, the holy name, is fully alive. It is a divine persona, but our chanting is not alive. And just like the body needs the five pranas, the five life airs, in order to walk and talk and jump and do everything and live practically, in the same way, there are five very powerful practices which are given to us by Srila Prabhupada, my guru, the previous acharyas, and our transcendental scriptures. These five very powerful practices can practically bring a dead practice alive, and I do hope to be able to show in these two sessions, which will be a little bit like workshops. We will do a lot of practice. I do hope to show you that also you can make or enliven your practice of chanting the holy name by adopting some of these practices. So, because I don't know how long he will be there, I, before starting, want to introduce to you a friend of mine. Yes, this is my friend Haridev. Haridev takes already the seat of the lecturer. No problem. We know each other since his birth, because I prayed when he was in the birth channel for his quick delivery. And our Haridev has observed the month of Kartik by completing one Govardhan Parikrama every second day. No? So one day Govardhan Parikrama, then one day pause and playing and running and chasing monkeys and everything, which Haridev does. And then the second day, again, Govardhan Parikrama. So I thought it's nice if you see a sincere sadhaka even in the little boy form. Thank you, Haridev, for coming and giving pleasure to our heart. The holy name should come alive in our lives. It would be so nice if he blossoms like a flower and shows his real nature to all of us. At that time, we will lose the taste of the things of this world, and we will awaken to a taste of everything of the spiritual world. People in this world are after rasa or taste. They don't want to be bored. They don't want to suffer. They do not want to have the feeling that what they do is just more or less something they do out of rote. Rote, that means mechanic. They want life. and with it the taste of life. So when a devotee chants the holy name, it's so important that he learns and she learns to chant with a genuine taste of Krishna consciousness. At that time, he will be protected from falling and becoming allured to the tastes of this world. Yesterday I was lovingly forced to attend a marriage ceremony. I usually don't do, but a very good friend of mine ordered me, and how can I not follow my dear godbrother? And I told the people who were in the celebration, it was, as the old English people would say, a gay day. It means a festive day. Everyone was dressed in their fineries with gold in as many places as possible. The bridegroom came in riding on a horse. It was a Vrindavan horse. That means it was a little lame, but it was tired, but with a little decoration, I think only two of us noticed. And I told everyone, normally a marriage is to be considered a gate into more sensual gratification. Husband and wife want to make a plan to become materially successful, to establish a house, hold, to maybe have a children, and to together absorb the pleasures the world has to offer. But they do not know that the taste, that the enjoyment they are looking is to be found with Akila Rasamrita Murti. That's the name of Krishna, which means he is the unlimited reservoir of all taste. And people who forget this, forget to approach Krishna, but turn to the objects of the world, will always be disappointed in their efforts. And we gave them an example. Someone who turns directly to Krishna and enters into a relationship with Krishna is comparable to someone who drinks honey directly from the honeycomb. Do you know what that is? The beehive where they have these departments with the honey, directly honey. If we go directly to Krishna, the source of all tastes. But if you instead don't go to Krishna, but you turn to the objects of the world, it's as if you go to that honey which has fallen down and has mixed with the dust or the earth of this world. And now you want to drink that honey. That honey, that worldly ras, is mixed with disappointment, with temporality, with quarrels, with frustration after the attempt to enjoy. Is what is better, to go directly to the source of all of the honey, or to go to the honey which is mixed with the things of the earth? So I encouraged my willing audience, it was an audience of good devotees, please learn to keep Krishna in the center of your life and learn the art of being directly able to taste bhakti or the devotional service to Krishna. And you will have a pleasure which is so great that even kings have turned away from their kingdoms. Ministers have become beggars like Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis, just so to have that superior taste of Krishna consciousness. Now, when we give such lectures, we come to the quickly to the point. To contact Krishna is best possible in this world by contacting his holy name. But our devotees, I find out, not so convinced that this taste of chanting the holy name is bigger than the taste which the world has to offer. There, we are mostly happy when we have finished our quota of 16 rounds, which we had given. You know, we had given this promise when we were naive and young and didn't know what we would get into. It is because our practice is not alive, and we are not chanting with taste, or we are not accessing the taste of Krishna's holy name, that we feel that we oft, many of us complete their rounds out of habit or duty, but not while experiencing the taste. And I know that all of us, I don't want to exclude myself, have come to the Holy Name retreat because secretly we hope that by the help of this ideal and very merciful environment, we will get maybe that little upliftment, that little insight, which will help us to really come to the platform of chanting with taste. My dear devotees, chanting with taste means your chanting is alive. Chanting without taste means your chanting needs to come alive. It's that simple. Haridas, once in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya had taken his bath in the ocean, and he returned to the little cottage of Haridas Thakur under the Siddhabakula tree. And happy at heart, Lord Chaitanya asked Haridas Thakur a question. Tell me, how can conditioned souls be liberated from their strong conditioning? And Haridas felt great love for his Lord. He knew that he had been made to speak by the Lord like a puppet who has been moved by the puppeteer. And he said, when the conditioned souls taste a higher nectar than they are accustomed, then they can be truly released from Maya's grip. It's a question of taste, my dear devotees. When there is a higher taste, a superior taste, a taste in Krishna's holy name and in Krishna, then you easily leave the mixed pleasures of the objects in this world. And he said, the holy names of the Lord first and foremost, the name of Krishna, are so spiritual and full of eternal nectar. They are like a budding flower that Lord Krishna has mercifully placed in this world. Holy name is like a budding flower which Lord Krishna has mercifully placed into this world. What is a budding flower? One of the places where I was fortunate to be in the month of Kartik had some greeneries, and as the months progressed, from the greeneries some stems came forward, and these round things, they are not exactly round, they look a little egg-shaped things, developed at the end of the stems, and I was not knowing what will happen with them. And as the months progressed, one opened a little and showed a flower, the beginning of a flower, I should say, which was a little yellow. Then as the days passed, from this bud came a flower which looked like a mixture of fire and the sun, red fire and the sun. It was an explosion of colors, mostly orange, red, and yellow, which I have never seen in this life. It was a quite exotic flower. I don't even know the name, what it is, but it was really beautiful. And after some time, a honey-like fragrance emanated from these flowers. So this is an example which Haridas Thakur uses. The holy name is a budding flower. It means in the beginning, just like my flower, it was had at the end a green egg-shaped bud. In the beginning when you chant, the bud is there. It's a closed flower. It's not visible. But as the days or years passed, it is supposed to open and show you Krishna. When the budding flower, Haridas Thakur continues, of the holy name begins to blossom, the Lord's handsome and charming spiritual forms, which begin with the form of Lord Krishna, are manifested. So you see the name is, oh, that's Krishna. When the flower of the holy name opens further and becomes very fragrant, the sweet fragrance of Lord Krishna's 64 qualities is perceived. Like you feel all of a sudden how merciful the holy name is to you. When the flower of the holy name is completely blossomed, Lord Krishna's spiritual eternal pastimes in the 8 periods of the day, pastimes that are beyond the touch of matter, appear in this world. And as the holy name begins to manifest its glory more and more, it emanates the bhakti shakti of the Lord, and that bhakti shakti will enter the chanter and transform him so that his own spiritual form and eternal identity becomes revealed. My dear devotees, this is the progress in chanting the holy name, which should be observable in your life. There was one bud in where I stayed, one stem, and there was a green thing, this green egg-shaped bud, but it didn't open. Instead, it rotted and smelled not very nice, so that I had to take a pair of scissors and cut it and throw it over the wall. This is obviously an analogy. When you chant and you do not experience the miracles of the holy name, even after multiple years, then what will happen? Most of you will discard the practice of chanting. Discard means give up the practice of chanting. Or you will just chant with resignation. Resignation, oh, deep frustration. And this frustration will spread in all the areas of your spiritual life, so that you will not be able to escape the temptation of these mixed material pleasures, the honey which is mixed with dirt. No? And therefore, it is extremely important that once you have taken to the spiritual practice, you must do everything so that it begins to blossom and it begins to open up and reveal itself. It's not a luxury project. It's a project which is necessary for your survival. So in this book, The Living Name, after really many, many, I mean, decades of research, we have tried to put these statements which give practical hints how to make the holy name or the practice of chanting the holy name blossom to fulfillment. It is the first time in my life that I can say this book is a service to the Vaishnav communities, which will really help them. Now let us start our workshop. The first thing which you must know is you can't chant the holy name. You're so silent. Why are you silent? Atasi Krishna Namadi Nabhavet Grayam Indriya Seva Vanmuke Hi Jivados Vayam Eva Spuratyada. These material senses can never grasp the Lord's name, his form, his pastimes, etc. You can't produce with this tongue the holy name, like for instance, I can say tent, light, orange color. The real holy name, who is identical with Krishna, cannot be produced, cannot be spoken, cannot be acoustically constructed. It can only spuratyada, that means appear from the spiritual realm, and it only does so with someone who is sevanmukhe. Sevanmukhe means who is turning to the Lord in service. Then, when someone turns to the Lord in service, then only the holy name, the real holy name, the living name, will manifest himself on the tongue. And then this process of opening, you know, the from the bud to the full flower will take place. Really, I'm not making this up. I found a lecture of Srila Prabhupada where he said the conditioned tongue cannot chant. It's categorically not possible. You know, how can I give you an example? This hand cannot not catch fire. It cannot, you know, I cannot have fire in the hand and hold the fire. The hand will melt away, or is there a much better example? Yes. I cannot take my hand and capture my mind or the bad thoughts in my mind. And put them away. It is categorically not possible. The subtle mind cannot be grasped by the gross elements. So in the same way, the holy name is entirely spiritual, and it can only manifest from above. I always like to say like this: we cannot run to Krishna, but Krishna can come to us. We cannot climb into the spiritual world, but Krishna can manifest in our senses when we chant Hare Krishna. And all of a sudden, you feel when he's there. It is a change of atmosphere, a change of heart, and so on. So the idea is you must approach the Lord with service. Then the holy name can manifest. Service must be done for conditioned soul with his, it's called a sadhana sharira, his body and the mind. That's what we have at the present moment to render service. With our body, we can use our body in chanting. We could sit properly. That's what we do with the body and the spine as a service to the holy name. Then we can use our tongue. What does the tongue do? It pronounces very clearly, not slurry, the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then we can bring the king of the senses, the mind, to the chanting. How we do this is, we will discuss in a moment, the three functions which the mind can do. There's a very, very important knowledge, what you can do with this instrument of the mind. It's wonderful once you know, ooh, I have an iPhone and I used it only like a ordinary digital phone. The touch screen is available and all these apps are available which connect me to WhatsApp. And yes, something I know. if you know what is available in your mind as abilities which you can use in the chanting, you will be surprised. And finally, you can use that heart, and here I mean the heart as a seat of emotions in the chanting of the holy name. So I would like to take you now to a workshop and teach you. I mean, teach, it sounds so arrogant. What do I know? I want to guide you a little in a process. Are you with me up till now? Good, my God, this sounded alive. I will not waste your time too much with aligning using your body in the service of chanting, because so many lectures have been given about it, and it's kind of, you know, we want to go to higher subjects at the Valley of Govardhan. But this much I would like to just do with you. I request you to sit properly. Prabhupada writes about this. He says it's recommended in the yoga scripture that one should put the soles of the feet between the two thighs and ankles and sit straight. That posture will help one to concentrate his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, I know as we get older, all of us, our muscles atrophy, they shrink. If at that time you go to the chairs and only chairs and benches, you will lose the battle. Best is you learn a few simple exercises which will work against this atrophy of the muscles, which will give you a lot of spine problems when this is not checked, this method, when you become older. Really, it's alarming when you can't sit any longer on the floor. It means the muscles are contracting, and that will have an effect on your spine as you grow older. So you can, but I'm not here to give you, you can, in the internet, you can find how to stretch my muscles in the legs. You can find some information. It's a good, normal information. It helps you, this posture, to concentrate your mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada would always say, sit properly, to his disciples. He said it to my older brother. I remember when my older brother came the first time, he sat like this in Prabhupada's class. And Prabhupada said, don't sit like this. He put his legs up like this on the Vyasasana. Because, you know, this is a machine, the body, and it works if you use it. It's a complex machine. So good. Now, then, as you sit, you should pronounce the mantra clearly, and then listen attentively as you capture the sound with the ear. Let us do these things. Kindly sit properly. And now let us. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Continue. Hare. Make a conscious effort to sit properly. Make a conscious effort, please, to pronounce the mantra very clearly. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. And now make a conscious effort to listen to yourself chanting. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you very much. Now you can do this simple thing. Sit, pronounce, and listen in two ways, which will give you entirely different results. You can do it more or less like a concentration exercise. You can do it as an effort and so on. But you can also choose to do it in the second way, that is, I'm doing this to serve Krishna's holy name. And with that, you enter another realm. Remember the shloka, the verse which we have heard? It is not possible to capture the holy name with our material senses, but the holy name reveals himself. If we are sevanmukhe, that means inclined to serve him. No? So we serve him. This is how Jiva Goswami explains this verse. We serve him by using what we have, our body. And that was the beginning. Now we will go a step further, a step higher. Is this clear to you, this difference? You can sit down and chanting to have a good time, to be with your friends from the Gurukul during a reunion. Or you can sit down and say, I'm tired now, I know. I'm moody now, I know. I'm faithless now, I know. But I want to serve Krishna in doing, offering this to him. And the result will be entirely different. Sevanmukhe, turning to Krishna, will, according to the Gita, will motivate Krishna's soft heart to turn to his devotees. He speaks about this. Ye yatamang papatyante tamstataiva bhajamiham. In the degree someone surrenders to you, to me, Krishna, in that degree I reward that soul, that person, accordingly. No? This idea of using our what we have, body, mind, in service of the holy name, something different will happen. So that was that we have heard multiple times, I want to just make a little experiment now. I request all of you to look a little around and mark in your mind the items which are red or reddish. This is also around. Just make a count what is red. Maybe someone has a red bag. Just look. This is not red. This is yellow. Do you know? Try to focus. It's an exercise for focus. Can you see a flower which is red? Have a look at the man, if someone has a red shirt or red scarf. Please close your eyes slightly and tell me what is green. Not so easy, no? Did you notice this very beautiful tablecloth glimmering with Indian kitsch-like precision? Hare Krishna, sorry, I should not use such word constructions. Did you notice the backdrop on the altar? You know, this very beautiful wave-like design under the roof? No, because your mind was engaged in finding out what is red. This is one ability of the mind, one function of the mind, that it can make an active focus. In the yoga shastras. This is called Vishaya, and it is done. It is connected with this point here, the Agya Chakra. You may have seen people who are very focused. They develop a furrow between the brow. Furrow means like a. What does it mean? It's like a skin in the skin. You know, a little. What? Wrinkle. Thank you. We don't need to go too much into the focus. You can focus on something. You can focus, like I'm trying to focus now on explaining in as much as possible, and as much as short time as I have, the three functions which you can have with the mind. Focus, focus. Concentrate on the red colors which are here. That was one exercise. The mind, when it's focused, is a very, very powerful. Most of the time, our mind is not focused. It is distracted because so many things are going on at the same times. Also, we are distracted by our shifting states of the mind, so that it's very difficult to keep it in one direction. Then also in our modern culture, where we have these little distraction machine. I mean, it's frightening to an older person like me. You know, I was walking with my assistant, and one person said, "I would like to be with you. Can you maybe show us all these pictures where you are?" And I said, "But we have to live. No, we can't always be with the machine and so on. This multitasking is not good. Although modern man is proud of his ability to do many things at once, what it means for most is that the force of the mind, which is required for full focus, gets displayed and is no longer available. But a healthy mind has the ability to focus, and through this focus, develop deeper states of what you could call absorption. Another function of the mind is what we could call passive reception. What was the first function? Active focus, someone said. Yes? The other function is exactly the same, exactly something else. It's when I allow an atmosphere to speak to me. It's when I relax, when I do participate in a seminar of Burijan Prabhu, who all of a sudden asks us to turn to Giriraj, to observe Giriraj, and to more or less soak in the sacred atmosphere. It's a passive reception. It's no longer a focus. You're no longer in the active, let us say, almost aggressive function of the mind where you go outside, but you relax it. And many people can't actively focus any longer because of our impossible civilization in which we live, nor can they passively receive. They're always in mind waves which are not really good for their welfare and inner growth. But the passive focus is, for instance, possible. Just try it for a moment. Listen to this sound. And just receive it, maybe as you would receive water in your body. Thank you. And the last state of the mind, the passive reception is called samaniya. And if you practice it, I doubt that I don't want to give you go here in the point. It's called a bindu at the end of the skull. But then comes the equilibrium of the mind. That is the balanced state of the mind. It's something where you bring the active focus and the passive reception together. Don't worry, it will become crystal clear. It will become optically, visibly clear. I know for some of us this is new. No problem, no problem. So let me give you an example. When I'm asked to concentrate on chanting, I use active focus. When I'm asked do not use any techniques, just listen to the holy name, then it's the passive reception. And it's good if you switch between the two. I have a friend, His Holiness Bhakti Charu Maharaj, who asked the question, how long can you go like this, holding your hand like this? It is, you get a spasm. So from time to time, when it's then you relax it, the hand, and it will hang like this. That's the passive reception. And then comes the equilibrium. When you are just, let me say, when you're just in a state of being carried by the incredible power of the holy name. So, in Vaishnava terms, I just wanted to show you, your mind can do different things. In the Vaishnava terms, it says, the mind should first be placed into the midst of the mantra. That's an active focus. I'm chanting Hare Krishna. Please chant with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Bring your mind into the mantra. Continue always. Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare. Good, active focus. Thank you. Now, second is just listen very calmly without this laser-like concentration. Just listen. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My dear devotees, if you do this, after some time, you will come to a state of absorption where you can no longer be disturbed from outside. You chant even on an airplane where you cannot even hear your sound vibration because it's loud, but the vibration is inside. Your mind has a balanced state of equilibrium. It is a result. It comes automatically. Have you ever seen a friend maybe writing a letter which was important to him and you came in and he didn't notice you? Has this happened to you? Or maybe yourself, that you were absorbed? Children are often absorbed. Oops, our child is no longer here. They can be so absorbed in playing that they don't notice what happens with them. It's a very absorbed. So that comes as you shift between this. Bring your mind actively in the sent in the mantra, then a more passive reception. Just listen as the mantra comes into your mind and streams, and then you are here. I would like to show this to you with the help of Nritya Gopal in a visible way. As you start your chanting of the holy name, you can be compared a little bit with the man who enters into a river. You try to focus as much as possible. As you go deeper, the next photo, please. Into the chanting. Oh yeah, this is a very good idea. Thank you, Nitya Gopal, for this idea. You are really in the river, and the river comes to you. No, like this person who is now standing in the river. Passive reception. Yes, and as you continue, sometimes focusing, sometimes just listening, sometimes concentrating intensely, sometimes relaxing that and just catching the atmosphere, you will come in a state of equilibrium comparable to this last picture, where someone is just carried by the strength of the river from here to the Atlantic Ocean. Atlantic Ocean is not a good destiny. From here in the spiritual world. This example with the river is, by the way, I have found in our scriptures the river of chanting the holy name. But this illustration is more or less an adaptation of the three functions which the mind can have. And I want to now train with you these three functions so that it will become very, very easy. Let us go to the first picture, Nitya Gopal. Are you ready? This is very much on practice. I think you notice, huh? It's more a workshop. I like to use it as a workshop. Sometimes devotees say we should focus on each individual name. I personally feel this is a very advanced state. Before an ordinary chanter who's not yet so developed can do this, he has to first activate the focus potency in his mind. And that will happen if he focuses on the first name of each mantra. The first Hari. We have written down the mantra there. He's prominently... Oh, sorry, that it doesn't belong to the seminar. On the first Hari, I would like to now guide you into this practice. And from there, we will move and keep the active focus on the entire mantra. And you will see miracles happening. Okay, ready? Oh, tired, tired, tired. I will request you to chant. And I will say certain things. Never interrupt your chanting. Whatever happens on this stage in the next 30 seconds, don't become distracted. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gobhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. Now focus on the first Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. At this stage, do not focus on anything else than the first Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna. Some of you are not focusing. You are very distracted. Come. Now. First Hare. Yes. Krishna, Krishna. Bring your mind now. Capture it. Bring it to the first Hari. You can relax your mind now. But now, again, first Hari. Yes. Relax, just chant. But make an effort. Not weak-minded, strong-minded. Hare Krishna. Yes. Krishna, Krishna. Use this function. First Hare. It doesn't mean you have to be louder. It just means all the mental energy goes to the very first Hari. Hare Rama. The first Hari. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Yes, we will continue now. I will no longer say to you the first Hari, but please concentrate with full focus on the first Hari. Good, 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 good. Sorry. The next photo. Now, my dear devotees, we will stay in this space and we will absolutely try to be with each mantra. I made a mistake. It's still the first one. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Everybody, please. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Some devotees who have gone from the singular focus on just the first Hare to the focus on the entire or all the names in the mantra, find it very easy to, in the beginning, look at the written mantra. It's called the Mantra Traktaka, which they have either written. Sanatana Goswami speaks about this in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita in the purport. And they just chant while at the same time scanning each mantra, each name, almost like you would read a newspaper from the left to the right side, left to the right, like this. Or a book, by newspaper, a book, like this. So you can do that or not do that according to your convenience. But the idea is, please be with each holy name of the mantra. Let us please do this again. Some of you are already relaxing the mind. That comes later. Don't worry. In the next exercise, we are still working with the active focus. Okay? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. So, very good. Do you understand what active focus means now? It is, have you noticed how something starts to work, rewire itself, reorganize itself in the mind when you do like this? No, yes, we are too tired, Maharaj. Huh? Yes, everyone can notice who participates. Now, there is a stage where you just listen, but I don't wish to spend too much time on this particular only listening stage, because we can put it in the third step also. What I wish you to do now is don't focus, but just absorb the atmosphere. Let the holy name just enter your mind and your heart, and you will see it will create a state of equilibrium. Equilibrium is an English word for balance, but it means something more. It is something which is a peaceful mood which is there. And that really, my dear devotees, for the beginning stages of chanting, this is really an aspired state where you just are like this person who is carried away by a, or carried, not away, who is carried forward by a strength which is not his own. That is very, you all have experienced this when you are no longer in need of catching your mind, struggling with it and so on, but just hear or absorb the atmosphere. Just like when Bhurijam Prabhu tells us in his very unique way, when he tells us we to just absorb the atmosphere of Govardhana, it works very nice for many of us. So here also, please just absorb the sound of the holy name. Let it just work on you. The holy name is so much more powerful than all our efforts will ever be. The holy name is so much more pure than we can ever hope to be. The holy name is Krishna. Just give him a reception. Just joyfully and in an attitude of respect hear the sound vibration. Let us together chant now. Hare Krishna. One moment. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. This workshop is about Sevanmukhe, this one word in Rupa Goswami's verse, which is really a key. The material tongue and the material senses cannot really engage with Krishna, who is altogether spiritual. However, Krishna himself descends and comes into our perception and then perception and awareness. He comes into our perception and awareness. And at the moment when he sees we are inclined towards service, we want to serve him with our body, our mind, and what else do we have? Hearts, emotions, feelings like gratitude, devotion, like the humility, these things. So I had a very nice discussion with Bhurijam Prabhu about how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would in his kirtans bring people to a very amazing state of absorption in the holy name. They would cry, being utterly moved and so on, moved with devotional feelings. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has left us a process. He and that process is we are longing for Krishna. Ayi Nanda Tanuya, my dear Lord, I have fallen away from you into this bottomless ocean of material existence. Please lift me up and bring me to the safe shelter of your lotus feet. No, this feeling of longing is good. Just I request you in this last exercise to do, if you are still strong enough, it's good to hold it, because some learn by seeing something, that is some people are like this. So sit again properly. We will request each one of you to bring your personal offering to the holy name, to chant with your heart. Have you ever heard in Kirtan, some Kirtaniyas will say, with your heart, no? What they mean is, you know, bring something, bring some devotion with your heart. Na, 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 na. Yes. Become aware of who you are. You have come a long way, a soul. Many things happened before you came to this retreat, to the sacred valley of Giriraj. And it is now your chance. Not now, always you have the chance. But now we will try to reconnect with the Lord. Our chanting will be an exercise where we reach out devotionally to Krishna. There is a prayer from it's called the Patya Panchaka. Anyone who daily chants this prayer will be guaranteed to get the direct service of Radha and Krishna. It's from the Sanat Kumar Sanghita. And I want to read to you a prayer to just tune you in. Two prayers from this, altogether five prayers. O Master of Radha. Who's the Master of Radha? O Master of Radha, I'm yours. O Beloved of Lord Krishna, I am yours. I offer to both of you my thoughts, my mind, my words, I will chant, and my deeds, I will sing and pronounce with my tongue. You too are the goal of my life. O Sri Sri Radha Krishna, you're like two great oceans of mercy. Please be merciful to me. I take shelter in you. I surrender to you. Please engage me, a sinner and offender, in your service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Let us not forget, here we are offering our heart. You may say, this is very difficult, Maharaj. I have not learned to do that. How can we offer our heart? You must create a conceptual framework in which gratitude arises. You're here. You have a unique opportunity, because really that is what Gaurijan Prabhu, myself, have seen. We have this year an exceptionally spiritual minded crowd. It's like-minded devotees. We are sitting in the same situation together, wanting to go deep at the end of November. This is a very, very interesting project. And we have like-minded devotees. We have the best place, Giriraj, Govardhan. So let us be grateful. And let us sing from our heart. Means with a grateful feeling. Please sing now.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare One more time, please. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare. One more time, please. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It is possible for you to now have this passive receiver mood of an atmosphere or of the holy names. And you bring these devotional feelings, your heart, the chanting, everything is much easier. Mm-hmm.
So, Hare Krishna. I would like to give you a very brief summary in, I hope, not more than 3 sentences. Krishna, who is the entirely transcendental entity beyond our mind, beyond our concepts, can descend in our heart through his holy name. He does so when he sees that we are turning to him in service. Service for us means to engage our body, our mind, and our heart. And this is like the beginning into the deeper states of spirit, of absorption in the holy name. Thank you very much. And thank you also. I hope your arms don't tremble now. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Radhika Ranjan, please help me again. Amog Lila, we will start with the two of you. Yes, please. We will supply you with a microphone.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class. The question I had in mind was, I appreciate very much the techniques that are shared in attentive chanting, trying to get to a stage of attentive chanting. My doubt lies with when practicing these techniques, does that come a time when those techniques also become mechanical? Because I've heard the chanting of the first Hare for maybe 5 or 6 years, maybe more. And I sometimes then find that becomes mechanical.
Yes.
So it's just the way with techniques sometimes. They themselves become mechanical. So is it a matter of faith then that is the issue, or is it something more maybe at play?
Thank you very, very much for your question. It's a very clear question, and it's a very well taken observation. Yes, any technique, anything can be mechanical except for one thing, and that is bhakti, or the devotion, you know, the inclination to do service. It must be all rest, it must all rest on that. Let me just, since you are asking and we are persons, let me give a personal answer also. What I have seen, and it might help you also to try it, you just go quickly through the things, sit properly. It's almost like, you know, when sit properly and pronounce the mantra properly. It's almost like when you go into your car, there are a few things which you do always, routine things. You turn on the key, I think. I'm not so good in this, but key that I know, and maybe then you turn on your GPS nowadays. Where do we have to go? It's a, but really, as you, well, so in chanting, you also do these things, and you stand a good chance when you do this that you are more focused. But it doesn't have to be that way, because it could become mechanic. What helps, however, Radhika Ranjan, is whenever you can catch a whiff of devotion. I would like to give you an example which makes very clear what I want to say. During the month of Kartik, I tried to... Sachinandan Swami tries to become Sachinandan Das. That means my official role as a preacher, as the way you know, the way I'm known, or the is no longer. I'm a different person. I now focus entirely and exclusively on my Krishna conscious sadhana. So that one day I had the desire, let me chant some of my rounds while doing Govardhan Parikrama. And I made it a point to start really early so that I would not see any foreign devotees and they would not see me. Then, whoop, I came to Kusum Sarova in the course of walking. And I see 5 million buses. And they are all marked with IDS. That means Indra Dumna Swami. All right, what do we do now? Well, I have a good scarf. I have my legs. I have my intelligence. And I just run and I go bent over like an old man. And I mumble, Jeho, 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 like an Indian, and just take over on the fast lane. Then one devotee, Sachi Nandan Maharaj! Jeho, 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 Jeho. It was one devotee who immediately understood when I made like this and was silent, you know. So then everything works very well. I'm way on my way. Govinda Kund is also there. Then just after Govinda Kund, one devotee comes. Then again, because I stopped somewhere to chant some prayers. Then a devotee comes and says, Sachinanda Maharaj, in three sentences, who is Govardhan? And sticks a camera into my face. And I'm not very advanced, so when this camera is there, I become self-conscious. I look so foolish, always. And then I get into the preacher, da la 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 la, and I say what I have heard and so on. Then I continue. Oh no, now I'm really no longer I'm international man now. Then I go and then I just come into a group of Matajis, and all I hear is Zaris, prices, mobile phone, and he. He means referring to a boy. Oh, Krishna. So I'm getting really excited. Frustrated. And excited with these feelings of, you know, and because it's so antithetical. Then I pass by one devotee, you know, if this is Giriraj, right here, then this devotee is sitting here, and here's the Govardhan path. And this devotee turns to Giriraj. He sits there and he says so lovingly, Dina Dayal, with friend of the fallen. Wow. Then I went in a circle, went around, and again, he was just chanting there some song, Dina Dayal, Dina Dayal. And I hear his very Krishna conscious mood, friend of the fallen. And he is moved. And immediately that does something to me. My whole vision shifts, and I think it's so nice that there are 5 million buses with Western devotees there. It's so nice that although they speak about
everything except for Krishna. But they are here. Wow. Woo-hoo. So nice. And everyone becomes a saint and everything becomes nice. It's because some devotional feeling has entered the heart. And that bhakti is always in the heart of the bhakta. Therefore, when chanting doesn't go so well, I read prayers because there is devotion. Or I hear a lecture of Srila Prabhupada. That is so good. When he says, ultimately we have to become mad for Krishna. Wow, yes, I'm on that program. I'm attracted to that program. You know, and in this way, by hearing from devotees or sitting with devotees, discussing, revealing the mind, some of the devotional feelings come. Because that is everything. Bhakti brings Krishna, Radhika Ranjan. Bhakti, there's this very nice shloka in the Matara Shruti. I don't remember. Bhakti brings Krishna. Why? I would have to speculate, but it ends by saying, therefore, bhakti is stronger than Krishna even. it is this what we want to do with devotion. And devotion resides in the hearts of the devotees. There is where you can find devotion. Sometimes when I'm asked to be a kirtan leader and I'm all in the mechanical chanting and I think, oh no, after this I have to do this, and then my mind is full with so many things, I just say to myself, but look at all these devotees. They want to chant. They are good. I'm not good, but they are good. Let me serve them. And then sometimes something comes. You have to get out of your own mental prison. Hare Krishna. Yes, our... yes, Amoga Leela. Amoga Leela. Yes, Das. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Maharaj. It was really an amazing lecture. Maharaj, I wanted to ask that the technique which you mentioned will certainly work for all the devotees. But in case, I'm asking about myself, in case a devotee has been very offensive, especially towards the holy name as well as the Vaishnavas in the past, and that too for a longer period of time, then in such a case, this technique will take time to manifest in terms of, as you said, that miraculous nature of the holy name. So at that time we require patience, but patience also comes from the holy name. But the devotee is struggling to connect with the holy name because of being offensive in the past towards Vaishnavas and the holy name itself. So then what's the hope of such a devotee?
Thank you. Your question is brilliant and excellent. And I'd like to see if I can find just very quickly. No, that's in another book. The Padma Purana says when someone is offensive against the holy name in the past, he should nevertheless patiently chant, and then the result of the offenses will go. When you have been offensive towards Vaishnavas, then you should, with the same mouth where you have said bad things, say words in praise of the Vaishnavas, and you should serve them. These are the recommendations how to overcome them. But both might take time. At that time, when we feel, oh, my progress is slow, my progress is not very substantial, it has been recommended we should sit in the assembly of Vaishnavas during kirtans. That will help very quickly to overcome offenses. That is the remedy which is given in Harinam Chintamani. That sitting in kirtan
with devotees. You might like to find kirtans where it's easier for you to focus, but that's sitting with many, because then it's a group effort. And Krishna showers his mercy on the group and you sit somewhere there. And then you get the rain on your head as well. Hare Krishna. So my dear devotees, I'm tempted to go longer, but we want to keep the retreat up. Park your question on a mental parking place and we can deal with them at another time. See, we have a policy here in the retreat that books are not sold during the retreat because we don't want it to become a marketplace. But I have spoken with some devotees. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. I've spoken with some devotees. This is not my doing with the light, by the way. It's not a dramatic effect. I have to say. What you have heard today is dealt with in the beginning of the book. The first chapter is called Yojana, which starts, on page 24. They're brief chapters, and we felt that this is not 37. Actually, it starts. I made a mistake. 37. It might be helpful for you to go again through it. We have only a limited supply of copies. They are printed in the West, so they are a little bit more expensive than Indian publications. But I really want to encourage you at the beginning of the retreat to take this. If you feel you wish to have this book, to have it at the beginning, because then you can work with the concepts, you can find them easily in the book and apply them directly in your practice. So you will find a book table outside, I think, but at the moment you won't be able to see a book, but it has something. It's a very intimate atmosphere. Somehow it will come back. Don't worry. The light is come. Another thing I need to say. My dear devotees, there are so many of you whom I know, and I'm amiss. Amiss means I can't always greet all of you because now my eyes are no longer working so clearly. And therefore, I can't see and recognize many of you. So when I cannot greet you or see you, please know from my heart, I know you are all here, and I'm very happy. Please excuse me. Hare Krishna. So we will have a pause now, 30 minutes or so, and then we will end with an evening kirtan. All the best. Hare Krishna.